lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
We're slow learners, and we're not particularly good listeners.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It's cold outside, but it's warm in here at Hale Center Theater, where the movie show is broadcasting live today, and we are so excited. Because honestly, our big movie of the day is something that I fully expect to be on a stage at Hale Center Theater someday. Yeah. Sally was just giving me an explanation of why this doesn't happen very quickly sometimes or at all. But I fully expect our big movie of the week, Steve, to be on a stage someday. Because, well, first of all, it's a musical.
Well, my first thought was I don't know if I'm going to love this as much as I should, but having the guy did Paddington and Paddington 2.
Which, as we've acknowledged from a Nick Cage movie, is the greatest movie of all time.
It is the greatest. Paddington was wonderful. Paddington 2 was even better. So I trust this guy completely, and it is absolutely family-friendly, adorable on every level.
Well, let's jump right in with the big movie of the week, sponsored by Paris RV. They've got incredible deals on 2023 models. We're almost to the end of 2023. They still got to make room for the new 2024s. So go to ParisRV.com to see the selection. Let's hear a clip from Wonka.
You see, I'm something of a magician. Prepare to be amazed. And chocolate maker.
The best chocolate in the world.
He's good. Too good.
Do not sell chocolate in this town!
You should stand up to those bullies.
Every good thing in this world started with a dream. So you hold on to yours.
Well, we finally get some backstory on the most famous name in chocolate outside of Hershey.
Yeah.
We get the backstory for Wonka. Timothy Chalamet stars as Willy Wonka in a brand new musical. He gives us the origin of the famous character from the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory books and movies from the Roald Dahl stories. This is more of a prequel to the Gene Wilder story.
Definitely.
Both in look and also because the Johnny Depp version gave backstory with Christopher Lee as his dad, the dentist, all that's out the window. So this is backstory to Gene Wilder.
The 2005 doesn't exist.
And see, I disagree with you on that, and someday we will have an argument about that.
Oh, well,
because
at least I've seen it.
Oh, wow, that hurts.
Yeah, that's right.
That hurts.
I'm going to put on his tombstone.
It's on my list.
It's on my list.
Haven't seen that one. It's on my list. So this is what we get, Timothy Chalamet singing. He comes to what looks suspiciously like 1930s London, although they never do say exactly where he is. He's been sailing
city.
The world. He lands. He wants to sell chocolates, but then he runs into the chocolate cartel, which prevents him from opening his shop.
Dun, dun, dun.
He needs somewhere to stay. He runs out of money. He picks the one place where if you're 1 second late with 1 cent, you become essentially an indentured servant for maybe the rest of your life.
10,000 days. Well, that seems like a hefty price to pay.
Oscar winner Olivia Colman. What was her name in it? I forgot her name.
Scrubbit.
Mrs. Scrubbit. It was, by the way, even though Roald Dahl did not write any of this backstory, I felt this was very much in line with his style, both of writing, of characters. I tell you what, nobody does an evil adult better than Roald Dahl.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he has a dark side, no question about it.
And it works like from a it's the way adults are seen from a kid's perspective, only he manages to make you see it even as an adult from that perspective.
Even the bad guys are there's still a wink wink there.
Kind of, yes, for sure. So that's the story. What did you think? How did you think the execution? You said you went in with high hope or with at least with trust for the director.
Well, I went with actually low expectations. Sometimes musicals, they just start blasting out singing a song. You're like, oh, no, right now? Really? But this is absolutely enchanting, charming, loved it. This is for the whole family. I just love this movie. I thought it was upbeat, it was inspirational, it was positive. I mean, who couldn't use a movie like that right now? Everything about this film, even when, you know, they're about to go up, you know, in a bowl of chocolate, he's like, "Oh, no, we got this."
Although if you're going to go out, I mean, drowning in chocolate, come on.
No, that would ruin chocolate.
Would you rather drown in salt water?
Maybe.
No, you wouldn't.
I don't want to drown at
all. Because at least for a second you'd be like, at least this tastes good.
Gulp, gulp, gulp.
Exactly. Don't they say he who dies with chocolate in the mouth dies happy? Isn't that an old saying from somewhere?
I think it's a proverb.
I feel like it probably was in the Bible. It was one of the extra verses that they had to clip for space, I feel like. Well, but for me, I didn't necessarily go with low expectations, but I had avoided trailers and everything just so that I wouldn't set my expectations one way or the other. And I came out really pleased. It feels at times like Harry Potter, which it turns out it's from some of the people who produced Harry Potter. It feels at times like Mary Poppins. It's wildly colorful. I loved that.
Oh, the sets are ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Cool. And I just thought it worked. Like, I didn't really care about Wonka's backstory going in, but I kind of liked how they set it up.
But it was
and
just so brief.
There was some touching, you know, kind of how it goes. There's not a lot of Oompa Loompas, and I don't know if Hugh Grant was being serious when he said it was a nightmare, the whole process, or if he was just joking around, but after he said that, I rewatched clips, and I'm like, I don't know if he was joking. He plays as if Hugh Grant was an Oompa Loompa. He doesn't play an Oompa Loompa who looks like Hugh Grant. He plays Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa.
And by the way, I'm one of the taller ones. They call me Lofty.
So
and that was his character.
You do get to have some fun. It's a solid cast. Keegan-Michael Key, I thought, was kind of the funny sort of stealing the show as the police chief whose love of chocolate is going to be his undoing.
But I thought the essence of the story was Willie and the young woman affectionately known as Noodle.
Yes.
Played by a newcomer.
Yeah, I don't know who she was.
Yeah. But their chemistry and their working together was absolutely magical.
So Wonka for me, 3.5 out of 4. And I'm going to change mine to letter grades next year, just so you know, but I'm going to stick with it for now.
Well, I'm at a B+, A-. I don't even know why it's even that.
I love that there's movies that you can take the whole family to, and you can enjoy it, and you can walk out, and it has uplifting messages. Look, we got to have balances, I realize that. So these movies aren't that great if there aren't others to balance them up against. But don't just dismiss this one because they're just going to be singing in it.
Well, it's going to be sad for you if you miss it. That's all.
Now, I agree with you. So that is Wonka. It is playing in the widest release. It is rated PG.
PG, yeah.
PG. And it is, would you say this is our pick of the week? It is our big movie leak, but would you say it is our pick?
I think
Reacher is on the list for today.
Well, yeah, that's a streaming series.
Well, this is
Reacher's
the only real
theatrical.
This
own.
Is only a couple of actual theatrical new releases this week. So as we look at the movie show preview for the rest of the show coming up, we'll also be talking about mostly streaming. We've got Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget.
Hilarious.
We've got Fallen Leaves.
Excellent.
And we've got The Family Plan on Apple TV+.
Ouch.
And I think we're going to disagree. And then we've got Finest Kind on Paramount+.
Loved it.
These are all of our movies. Then we've got, for streaming series, season 2 of Reacher.
In a world on its own. It is on a stratosphere that doesn't exist for any other show.
We've got a soccer documentary, The Billion-Dollar Goal.
Learned a lot.
As did I, who considers myself a soccer fan. Barbie's finally out on streaming. We'll talk about that. Plus, how you can watch some of your favorite Christmas shows on streaming if they perhaps are not coming on broadcast television
this year.
Right. So all that, plus Telephone Torture, the movie show Top 10, coming up on today's movie show.
The movie show.
No Nintendo on my house.
Looks like a no-go on Nintendo.
It's funny, John.
On KSL News Radio.
I love 8-Bit Christmas, and every time we play a drop from that movie, I am going to point it out on HBO Max, on Max. It's just great.
It was a surprise hit. I was actually pleasantly surprised.
If you liked A Christmas Story, you'll love 8-Bit Christmas, especially if you grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
Since that's when it's set. All right, Steve, let's review another. First of all, right before we do that, we want to get out our text question to everyone. Since we're here at Hale Center Theater today, our text question to everyone is, what is your favorite movie that was originally a play, or what is your favorite play that was originally a movie? Text us at 57500. There's a lot to choose from, and I'm curious what people's favorites are. So 57500, what was your favorite movie that was originally a play or play that was originally
a movie?
West
Side Story.
You can't go wrong with West Side Story.
Dude, the music in that, ridiculous.
All right, well, let's do a review real quick, Steve. How about Fallen Leaves?
Okay.
We don't have any sound. Karaokea. Siinähän istuu ne kaksi naista. Tapasin sen pienemmän myöhemmin. Mentiin melkein naimisiin.
Miksi te menneet?
Hukkasin puhelinnumeron.
Miksi et kysy numerotiedustelusta?
En tiedä nimeä.
Se kieltämättä vähän hain.
Look, well, Steve, we want to make sure somebody, there could be someone in our audience who understood word of that.
For those of you who speak Finnish, this is your movie. This is Finland's entry into the Oscars.
Okay.
So it's about two people in this industrial town. It's very, they're both very stoic. They live separate lives. And it just, it's so funny when you meet a couple of people that have zero, almost no personality, but they're drawn to somebody else and they don't.
Are you telling me that Finnish people have zero personality?
No, I'm saying these two people have not zero personality, but they just, they're so awkward and alone that it's like tragically adorable.
Okay.
And, you know, the guy's like, "You want to see a movie?" She goes, "I think I do." You know, that's like the most charming thing that they do in the movie. And, but then she goes, "Here's my phone number. You call me." And then he puts it in his pocket and he reaches for something else and the paper flies away. He has no idea who, where she is. But here's the cute thing. He goes back to the theater every night. Aww. In hopes that maybe she goes back to that theater so that he can get her number. That's how cute this movie is.
Okay.
And that's
so,
what it's all
so
about.
So European longing. That seems to be what they like.
European for... and boy, stoic and like, you know, even when you're like the big, you know, denouement, it's like...
When he said thank you at the end, yeah. Every Finnish person in the theater broke down in tears.
They shook hands. it's just a sweet little movie. It's very simple. It's very sweet, and I can
see
why.
Is it full length or is it more of a short?
No, it's full length. It's I can't remember, to be honest.
And where is it playing?
It's playing at the Broadway.
Okay, and what's it rated?
It is not rated, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. So. There.
Okay.
But that's coming from someone who's seen
subtitled,
everything.
Subtitled, I'm assuming?
Yes.
As of we, since we heard the trailer. Yeah,
hopefully, because unless you do a crash course in Finnish.
Did you feel like, because I'm only going to say this now that after having watched The Boy and the Heron.
Yeah.
Did you feel like having to read the subtitles distracted you from anything visually that was going on?
Two different movies, because The Boy and the Heron was so complicated and so... You know,
visual.
The visuals are so important to that film. This one is more... Definitely, it's not going to bother you.
That's okay. Okay, because there was a movie came out earlier this year called The Persian Version, and a lot of times when they would speak Farsi, sometimes the subtitles would appear on the side of the head of the person, like as if it was animated.
Yeah, that was kind of cute.
And I thought, it wasn't until later that I thought, that actually works really well. That allows you to both see the face and see the dialogue
where it's coming from, yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, so you're talking Fallen Leaves.
A B
for Fallen Leaves, and it is the Finland entry into the Oscars. So if you're somebody who likes to see all of the different Oscar nominees, that's going to be the one.
And it's probably in my top five or six for the year as far as foreign language,
yes. And that was we're submitting our or have already mostly probably submitted our picks for Utah Film Critics.
You have till 5 o'clock tonight.
I've got to hurry
and don't be late.
I will not be late. Okay, all right. So we've already had a couple of texts of your favorite play that was a movie or a movie that was a play, and here's three solid ones: Lion King, Fiddler on the Roof. Which, hey, by the way, it's going to be one of in fact, that's going to be playing in a little less than a month, right, Sally?
If I were a rich man, it's going to be here.
So that's a good choice. And then Moulin Rouge, which I fully intend to see sometime.
Oh, my goodness.
I have mine.
Okay, well, we are having a blast on the movie show. When we return, we are going to review a movie that's out on Paramount Plus that... can you combine fishing and crime? Well, apparently you can.
You probably shouldn't.
We'll talk about that when we return on The Movie Show.
Merry Christmas.
You look like a deranged Easter Bunny.
He doesn't know.
He does, too. He looks like a pink nightmare.
From the KSL Movie Show.
James.
LeBron James is considered the king in some places, Steve.
That's right.
But not to other places, like here in Utah, where we don't. Well,
we don't have a king
yet. I mean, besides Gustavo, our producer, who's a big Lakers fan.
Yeah, unfortunate.
Well, goodness.
That's,
all right.
That's his cussing at it.
Yes, I can.
We've asked the text question, what's your favorite movie that was originally a play or play that was originally a movie? Because the two are so often interchangeable. Here are some more texts. 1959, The Sound of Music play to 1965, Robert Wise, The Sound of Music. So apparently there was a play before...
And the musical was far better than the play at the time. Yeah, it was refined and done better.
1959, that was only like 10 years after the actual story happened.
Yeah, it was Broadway. But it's beautiful. I mean, both of them are beautiful.
Here's somebody, a person after my own heart. Mike says, I love The Music Man. That's one of my favorites of all.
Oh, yeah. Who
movie and the stage play, doesn't matter. I can drop into any one of those songs at any moment, and it horrifies my kids.
It should.
But it's fun. All right, let's review another movie, Steve. Let's go to one that's releasing on Paramount Plus as of today, and it is called Finest Kind.
We're going to Canadian waters.
What happens if you get caught?
Getting caught is not an option.
Your vessel's been seized.
I got a $100,000 fine.
I'm going to lose my father's boat.
I have resources. We want to do business.
You know what line you're crossing right now.
She set us up.
All right, this movie stars Tommy Lee Jones, Jenna Ortega, Ben Foster, and Toby Wallace, and you maybe have only heard of two or three of those four, but I thought all were pretty solid. It's a recent college grad begs his older half-brother, who's captain of a fishing boat in New England, to let him join the crew, but when they get busted for illegally fishing in Canadian waters, as you heard in that succinct clip,
they're literally a mile over the border.
The lengths that the brothers will go to in order to make the money to get the boat out of impound could cost them their lives. And that's Finest Kind. Tommy Lee Jones plays the old man who owns the boat that the two half brothers are using to go
well, after their
fishing.
Sinks. Yeah. I thought, man, these guys are really good at this fishing stuff.
So, well, the first one, but that's part of the story. The first boat they're on sinks, but the question is, the owner is saying that it was. And by the way, I thought that Ben Foster was Ed Norton at first.
Oh, you did? Oh.
At the very first scene, when he looks up with his Boston accent, and I've heard Ed Norton do the Boston accent a bunch, so I was like, oh, Ed Norton's in this. And it was only later that I was like, wait a minute, because he also has a beard. It wasn't Ed Norton.
No. But, you know, Tim Daly's in this
Tim
movie.
Tim Daly, that's right.
Connie Britton is in this.
Wait, who was Connie Britton?
She plays the mom.
No, that was Lolita Davidovich with the red hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the mom of the two boys was Lolita, the girl who was Blaze back in the movie from the 80s.
I remember that. Okay.
So, yeah, at any rate, what did you think? For me, I actually, as weird as it sounds, I liked the fishing boat and family story. And then it takes a veer into crime that felt way out of place when you watch the movie from start to finish. Like, it was kind of a family drama, almost a la, what was that, Chesapeake or whatever, from a few years ago with Casey Affleck or...
Manchester by the
Manchester,
Sea.
Manchester, yeah. I mean, it gave me vibes of that. And it
also
was
kind of reminded me of Coda a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially on the boats, yeah. So then when it takes the turn into what I think was the point of the movie the whole time, it just feels like there's a chunk of the movie that feels completely out of place with the rest of it. But then you watch the trailer like you just heard, and I thought, you know, this movie was 2 hours long. If they had just decided to just let's maybe skip over some of the stuff that I like the best, believe it or not, the family drama, and just so let's just have it be, we know a little bit about them, let's get into the crime, and let's do that. Because from the trailer, what looks like part of the crime portion is not part of the crime portion.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, you're about to get a parking ticket. Let's go murder someone. I mean, that's what a leap it is as far as, you know, you owe some money.
It's $100,000. That's not a little bit of money.
Well, I know, but go out and go fishing for it, and, you know, maybe you can't. But
they can't because the boat was impounded. That was the point.
I know, but you rent one. I don't know. There's got to be another way besides going, you know, doing what they end up doing. But I have to give this movie some credit because I thought Tommy Lee Jones was really, I mean, as little as he's in the film.
He's really subdued.
He carried this movie. I thought the brothers were really cool.
And Jenna they did Ortega, give a great explanation as to why Southern drawl Tommy Lee Jones is living in Boston.
Yeah.
I like the North Atlantic better.
I'm going to be buried in Texas because that's where I'm from, if you didn't know from my accent, even though I've been spending most of my life here in Boston.
Yeah, that was funny. Jenna Ortega, who played Wednesday, she's not even – I thought she was kind of wasted in this film.
She certainly didn't have as much to do as the trailer would lead you to believe. That's what I'm saying. For a lot of people, they'll watch the trailer, and I'm just saying the trailer was actually – if you'd have done maybe a shorter film that – just sort of followed that story, I think that would have worked better than shoehorning that part into where they put it in the movie. That's just what I thought. And maybe that's why it's a streaming release and not a theatrical.
Having said all that, that third act made the movie for me. It was such a cute, cool ending that I almost forgave some of the stuff that was before.
Okay. So for Finest Kind, for me, this was a B minus, or what I would give it, a 2 to 1.5.
Oh, that's more like a C, dude.
Oh, is that closer to a C?
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, I'm going to have to work on the letter grading.
It would have been a B-, but that ending brought it back to a B for me. And I love Tommy Lee Jones, and I love Ben Foster. I think he's a great actor. And I thought the camaraderie between the two brothers really worked. So
okay, so that is
and the fishing was cool, and that was New Bedford, where all the Portuguese people live.
Yes, and they did have Portuguese speakers in it.
They did, and they had linguiça and eggs for breakfast.
And they looked like they were making some feijoada.
Ooh.
But yeah, so that's Finest Kind. It is rated R for violence and language and a little bit of spice. A little bit of yeah, but again, that's one that thankfully it's on streaming, so you don't feel like you're invested in it if you start watching it and decide you don't want to finish. But I did like the fishing part. I learned a lot. Actually, that was kind of fascinating. I was like, well, that's how they do stuff.
Yeah, it looked kind of dangerous.
Yeah, it looked kind of fun. Like you could see the appeal for one of the characters. So.
Yeah, I saw no appeal in doing that.
No appeal
for work.
All right. Well, that is Finest Kind. And on the movie show still coming up this hour, we've got movie news where we're going to talk about some of the Golden Globe nominations, which came out this week, because it covers pretty much everything we talk about on the movie show.
And I got two horror movies that are being, well, one's kind of new. The other one is a sequel to something that I know you haven't seen.
Well, that's probably a safe bet. Although I've seen a lot of things. It's just sometimes it's surprising which things I haven't seen.
It's on your list.
It probably is. So, and of course, our text question of the day, what's your favorite movie that was a play or play that was a movie? And we'll keep taking your texts throughout the show, 57500.
Not just any news.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Movie news. Action. On the KSL Movie Show.
All right, it's movie news time, Steve. And movie news, we're going to say, is sponsored by Call Climate Services. Our friends Scott call him at these cold times and have him and his team of experts come and help get your house fixed for winter or, you know.
You know, they even came out to it for a friend of mine on Christmas Day.
Oh.
They were out. They had no heat. And
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they came
out. I mean, you got to call in an emergency, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Steve, let's talk about the Golden Globe nominees. They were announced this week. This one is a little bit more encompassing than the Academy Awards, which are limited to just movies. Golden Globe, not only does it have movies, but they actually, I kind of like this, break it into different categories, like
drama,
musical. Drama, comedy. They're not all the same, and comedies will never get Best Picture love at the Oscars ever. So let me just read off, and then you can tell me if any of these are on your top five of the year for Best Motion Picture. So here's Best Motion Picture Drama. We've got Anatomy of a Fall, which we...
That's foreign language number one for me.
Okay. Killers of the Flower Moon, top five.
That's in there.
Maestro.
That's on there.
Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And Past Lives.
No.
And Zone of Interest.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen that one yet. Okay. Best Musical or Comedy, Air, the one about Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it was good.
American Fiction. Have you watched that one
yet? I really
liked
that one.
So did I. Barbie.
Oh, love Barbie.
The Holdovers.
My pick of the year.
That's your favorite one of the year.
That's my best picture.
Okay. And then May, December?
It's in there for more of her acting, though.
Okay. And then Poor Things.
Poor Things, I'm telling you.
We haven't reviewed that. That's next week that we're going to review it, isn't it?
I keep thinking, is that movie ever going to come out? Because
I think it's next week.
It haunts me.
Yeah.
Like
it was
daily.
Like a month ago we watched it. All right, and then Animated, because everybody loves Animated. Best Motion Picture, Boy and the Heron?
Not on there.
Elemental?
Nope.
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse?
Yes.
Super Mario Brothers movie?
No.
Suzume?
It was considered.
Sue me. No, just kidding. I didn't.
Leo. Leo's on my list.
Wish.
Wish.
I can't believe Leo's not on there, to be honest.
Well, I think I was trying to
because it
determine
didn't get a theatrical
whether it was
release.
No, but it's on there. It's eligible. I looked it up.
Wow.
Leo is eligible. It's
and then
fantastic.
They have a new category in the Golden Globes this year that they specifically brought in just this year.
Oh, the moneymakers.
Cinematic and box office achievement.
Yeah.
So. Barbie, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, John Wick Chapter 4, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the Super Mario Brothers movie, and Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour.
That's the only reason that category exists is for that last one.
So that one will not be at the Oscars, by the way. That
right,
is just at the Golden Globe. So those are the nominees. Write down on your list if there's ones that you haven't seen or that you want to see. You can also go to KSL podcasts and check out past episodes of the movie show to get Steve's and my and Doug's for some of these.
Oh, by the way, for those who want to read a review, I write two each week now. It's on KSL. What is it on? KSL News Radio.
KSLNewsRadio.com. Or just sign up for the KSL News Radio newsletter, and they usually include them in the daily email on Friday.
Okay, because I do two
as long
week.
As you get them in by deadline.
Well, I can only get them after I watch them. I could write them beforehand, but that would be weird.
Oh, that is true.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
That excited whispering you might have heard is Steve so excited to talk about our big streaming review.
It's been so long since I've seen it, I want to watch it again.
And by the way, they sent us a screener for this series that we're going to talk about here in a sec, Reacher. Like beginning of November, ahead of its mid-December premiere.
Yeah.
And they sent it during the movie show, and I told Steve at the end of the movie show, and he immediately raced home and started watching it.
Nobody saw me for 48 hours.
And it's, of course, the big streaming is sponsored by Joshua Stern Team. Visit sternteam.com to learn your home's real value in 30 seconds. Click sell, then home evaluation. And the big streaming is Reacher, which Steve is very disappointed that Gustavo did not pull some sound from
Reacher.
Yeah,
what's going on there?
Come but on. We'll give you a quick overview here.
What was that?
It was from Reacher. All of those things happen.
Well, that should that
including
should,
Robert Patrick
that should drive
from Terminator
everyone.
Did you get the Terminator reference in this movie or this show?
Oh yeah.
Okay, because I laughed my head off when that happened.
Oh, yeah. Having Robert Patrick in the show was like yes.
So all right, Steve. Thing. Because Reacher, I think I liked it just as much as you did. But you love Reacher, so you give us the summary.
Well, okay, it's different. So each series, each season is a book. And they take a particular book. There's like 20 of them. So we're going to be doing this for a while if he wants to keep doing it. Because I'm pretty sure this is pretty tough on his body having to.
Alan Ritchson plays Reacher.
Yeah.
And if for some reason you haven't seen a picture of Alan Ritchson.
Yeah.
He's massive.
He's a big
boy. He looks like the Incredible Hulk, only not green.
Even guys would be like, oh, wow, look at that guy. I mean, so anyway, they finally got the right Reacher.
The point of the Reacher novels is the physicality of the character.
Exactly. And so when Tom Cruise got chosen to play him, like, I thought, this isn't Oompa Loompa. This is supposed to be. I know.
Just called Tom Cruise an Oompa Loompa.
But my mom was livid. She was like, no, Tom Cruise is not Jack
Steve,
Reacher.
Steve, sonny boy, this is not my Jack
she
Reacher.
She wanted me to call somebody. I don't know who am I. I don't know who to call, Mom. She goes, fix this. Well, they did. Now this Reacher series. The first season was in a small town. It was kind of confined to that little area, a little hometown. Was it Alabama or Georgia?
Georgia.
This one, though, he had a group of special investigators that he worked with in the Army that investigated, big crimes that were happening within the military. So this one, the scope is much bigger. There are, the action scenes are huge. It just has a much bigger encompassing sort of scenario in that some of the special investigators are starting to disappear. And so the remaining ones, including Major Reacher, who was in charge of this 110th Division, he gets everybody together and it's like, all right, we got to figure out what's going on here. And that's when this investigation starts, trying to figure out who and why and what is going on. And it is brilliant.
I agree with you. I mean, we don't want to spoil a story, but it's entertaining. It has story twists. It's got great characters. That's something I've noticed through the two seasons is all the people they bring in.
Yeah.
Are good characters.
And they're fleshed out.
Yeah, there's some story to them. There's different things. It's never exactly the way it looks in a good way.
Right.
And I just, it's got the right action. Unfortunately, for people who are language sensitive, there's a lot of language.
There is.
And there's quite a decent amount of violence. It is an action thriller, so that kind of goes with the label. But as far as I'm concerned, as I was watching it, as I was getting to the last couple of episodes, I'm like, I can't think of a better action thriller series on TV. Like, The Night Agent did amazing numbers last year for Netflix, and it was good.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed.
But I think Reacher is better.
Oh, no question.
And I haven't even read the books.
Yeah, I have, some of them. My mom would read them and fire them off to me, and then I'd read them. It's just the idea that he's a nomad, that he gets a paycheck,
The only thing he carries with him is cash in his pockets and a toothbrush.
And he breaks his toothbrush. And that's all he wants is to get his toothbrush back. I'm like, I love a guy who's not worried about money. He just wants to take care of people, do the right thing, be just and fair, and get me in doggone toothbrush.
Yes. So Reacher, if you do have like one of those filtering services, it'll probably filter out key at points.
It's going to be a lot quicker.
But it is 8 episodes. The first 3 dropped today, and it will be weekly through about the middle of January.
And we're at Prime here, right?
Yes. It's Amazon Prime Video. I will say, we kind of suck because we didn't have to wait weekly. I think I would have been tortured if I'd had to wait each week for the next episode.
It is the special perk of being one of us.
Yes, but it is worth it, and it will – it.
And I tried to do that. I watched the first 2 episodes, and then I said, I can't do it. I'm done. I just spent the next 12 hours watching the rest of them.
I think I binged them all within the Monday and Tuesday of this week. I think I watched all 8 of them.
But I can't wait to watch it again.
I can't wait for the next season to come out, which thankfully I heard you said they're already filming.
They're in the process of filming it right now.
So that's good. So that is Reacher. It is on Prime Video. It's rated TV-MA, but it is the best action series on TV. If the content doesn't bother you, it's totally worth it.
But he's a really good guy.
He is. And, yes, I don't want to give away anything else for those who want to watch it. But that is Reacher, and that's our streaming pick of the week. We've got more streaming to tell you about, including a documentary that talks about the rise of U.S. soccer, or at least over the course of its history. And we've also got a movie, an action family comedy starring Mark Wahlberg and I forget her name.
Michelle Monaghan.
Michelle Monaghan, yeah. That was Tom Brady's ex. That's kind of how I... Wait, was she Tom Brady's ex?
No, it was her sister.
Bridget.
Okay. Who's in Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods, yeah. Okay. And that is all coming up on the movie show. So, Steve, before we hit a break, let's talk about the $1 billion goal on streaming.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a series, so there's no sound. So
we can start doing sound on
we
everything.
We can, I know, but that would make Gustavo do more work, and he does tons of work, and that's so helpful, true. And I just hate to give him more to do. Maybe we'll pick...
But he pulls Finnish dialogue. yeah, I get it.
That's a good point. Oh, so the $1 billion goal is a 3-part series on Paramount Plus that actually traces the history of the U.S. It's really about the U.S. men's soccer team, although they do talk a little bit about the women's. But
they don't have to because the women are doing fine.
They don't because the women are fine. But it basically talks about how the rise of soccer in the United States, including the definition of the word soccer.
Comes from England.
Which comes from England.
That one cracked me up. They're like, "Ew, it's football. You don't get it."
John Cleese has a whole big monologue about how stupid Americans don't get the concept
they
of football.
They invented the word soccer in England. It's association.
Shorted to ASOC, you know, because they would ASSOC period for the abbreviation. And then what they would do is they'd take the first 3 letters of every word and add an "er" on the end. And then they realized better to go with the second 3, and it became soccer.
Yeah, they invented that word.
ASOC.
Yeah, so bite me, England.
But anyway, what you get is a 3-part episode that basically traces the evolution of soccer up until – it's called the $1 billion goal because it leads up to the 1990 World Cup qualifying match where the U.S. had not qualified since playing in the World Cup in 1950. It had been 40 years. It traces how soccer was played out. And if you remember, people who are my age and a little bit older might remember when Pele came and played in a outdoor U.S. soccer league. It was a big deal, and they talk about that. But eventually it became a $1 billion goal because when the U.S. finally did qualify for that World Cup, it opened everything else. And then the U.S. hosted in 1994, and they made the World Cup every year until yakking in 2018.
You call it yakking. Huh?
They yacked. But then they made it back for 2022. But it also is a tribute to the preeminent soccer sports writer, Grant Wall.
That's why I watched
He passed
this.
Away at the World Cup suddenly.
And Qatar, yeah.
And this was his interviews for this were just like 2 months before his passing. And you'd look at him and you'd be like, that guy passed away suddenly? Like, he wasn't obese. I thought he was my age and younger, and
he might have an aneurysm or something?
Something like that, yeah. But they didn't make a big deal out of it in the doc, but I thought if somebody's got to go early, the guy who's basically been soccer's greatest champion outside of somebody who's with the soccer federation, passing away at the World Cup covering the thing, that's about
the best way to go, huh?
About the best way that you
His wife probably disagrees.
And I was going to say that's true, and it was nice to meet his wife and in the documentary. But I actually thought it was solid. If you don't know much about soccer, it's worth watching to at least understand.
Yeah, they're just 3 40-minute pieces. So,
and then if you're a U.S. soccer fan, then it's worth learning your history.
I thought it was interesting was that, well, soccer is just for foreigners, you know?
Well, it was for
I
a
know,
while.
Because that's where everyone was coming from. The Team America was what's pretty much all foreigners. They were, you know, from different – like that's
and
weird.
That was part of the problem was they couldn't get enough Americans to
see the look on
interest.
Reagan's face when he turns around.
Oh,
goes,
that was funny. There's a scene where they take this team to the White House, and you can tell – having if you've ever had to do something where you have to read what somebody else has written, only you're up in front of the people,
yeah,
and you realize that I don't have any idea what I'm talking about. I'm just hoping that this is written correctly.
Well, he brought up Newt Rockne and stuff, and like
because he didn't know anything about soccer,
different football, sir.
So, but again, that's called The $1 Billion Goal, and it is streaming on Paramount Plus.
Pretty good.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show live from Hale Center Theater. Steve, we've got one more streaming thing to talk about.
Oh, boy.
And I'm really surprised. Maybe I'm not really surprised, but I'm a little surprised that I'm getting this reaction already for a movie called The Family Plan.
Have you told them yet?
I'll tell them when I'm on the road.
Meet me in Vegas in 3 days.
Nothing brings the family together like a road trip.
Call in everybody.
I want him found.
Before I met your mom, I was a covert assassin. I escaped that life, and now they found her.
You're like James Bond in a minivan?
I love that minivan.
I need to be that guy one last time for us.
So the family plan is basically, what if James Bond quit being a spy, got married, and never told
his
family
he was an assassin?
Bond. Does James Bond not kill everybody?
Well, that's not his main goal. Well, he's trying to get some stuff back.
Okay.
That they're not supposed to have.
Then it's as if Liam Neeson was taken, but his family didn't know he had a special set of skills. How about that?
Well, yeah, except why would you not tell your family? That's...
Look, okay, Mark Wahlberg plays Dan. He's a family man. He lives in Boston. No, wait.
Buffalo.
Buffalo. He lives in Buffalo. That's right. He sells used cars. He's married to Jessica, who's a physical therapist. They have a son and a daughter in high school and a 2-year-old baby. And
who stole the movie, Max.
Yeah. Dad is super averse to technology to the point where he doesn't even let any pictures of himself get posted on anyone's social accounts.
I wonder why.
Except for one day, he's suddenly attacked in the supermarket. And he realizes that the long-kept secret of being a skilled assassin has been discovered. It's nice to take his family on the run, but he doesn't want to tell them that he's an assassin. So he just says, look, we're going to have a surprise trip to Vegas. It'll be great. And he throws all their cell phones out the window over the river.
Okay, that was strike one for me, because you've put your family in danger. They have no idea who you were or what you were all about, and yet you didn't – they made it like a joke?
Steve,
first
thing that happens is he fights an assassin in a supermarket with his baby strapped to the front
of
it.
That was funny.
But that's what I'm saying. At this point, reality is out the window.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So, and this is where I said this.
Wink, wink when he kills somebody?
This. Do you know they're not really dead? They're actors that are paid to look like they're dead. No, but for me, that was the key, is that at no point does it take itself too seriously to where you can laugh at some of the things. And it's kind of a family comedy that probably skirts a little bit too far into some violent things. But it never takes itself too seriously, and that's why, for me, I enjoyed this quite a bit.
Okay, I got you, because I enjoyed this too. See,
really?
You thought I was...
I thought you were poo-pooing it.
Well, there were a couple of things. Like, the dad, like, son, come work with me. Nah, never mind. Well, hold on. What? That was dumb. I mean, a lot of things that happened in that old abandoned...
Poseidon Hotel that probably never really existed, but it sure looked like it could have been a casino out of the 60s or 70s.
It got dumber as it went. But then I thought, you know,
and I like Maggie dynamic. Q. Maggie Q has a couple of roles, and I've always liked her.
She's amazing.
I thought her movie with Michael Keaton from a couple years ago was one of the most underrated action movies of that year.
Oh, yeah, she's brilliant.
But
no, I actually got a kick out of it. My daughter's watching. She's, Dad, you're not liking this? I'm like, no, it's okay. It's Mark Wahlberg. How... How high do you have to set that bar?
It must be like my wife. We're watching a comedy, and I'm laughing. Ah, ha, 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 and I look at her, and she's not. I'm like, do you not find this funny? She's like, no, no, it's funny. And I'm like,
well, just
well,
not
why
funny,
don't you
ha-ha.
Laugh? And so then we went and saw Legally Blonde, and she's laughing her head off. And I was like, see, I knew you could laugh at stuff.
See, when my teenagers, when they wanted to laugh, they just would go, eh. That was their laugh. Like, that's not a laugh. That's a, yeah, anyway. So I thought it was, it's a B-minus movie, though.
And see, this was a 3 out of 4 for me. That's how much I enjoyed it.
Wow.
And it's goofy. I really thought that Mark Wahlberg and Michelle Monaghan had good chemistry. The kids grew on me. They were very annoying at first, but I really started liking them by the end of the movie. And I actually, for me, the baby. So if you want to talk about suspending reality, you got a baby who can't even talk yet. That's how small he is.
He's 10 months old.
And he never cries at what, on a 33-hour road trip to Las Vegas. He never cries when his dad's fighting an assassin in the supermarket.
Or he's got a pants full of whatever.
Or he's got a pant full. At no point does this baby cry once in this movie.
The greatest child in the history of
cinema.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, if all kids were like that, then everyone would want to be a parent and they would never stop having kids. Oh, whoops. I think I hit the wrong one.
My oldest, Quinn, was like that.
Never cried?
No. We drove from Provo all the way down to L.A. Not a peep.
Wow.
I changed his pants.
On Kitty Quaaludes. So
was the trick that he needed his pants changed, and that's why he didn't cry, or because you did?
I mean, that was him. So I know that this is a true story.
Wow.
Well, all right. Well, that just changed. It's a 4-star movie now.
And and what a title. Let's come up, The Family Plan.
That's well, it's got all the hallmarks of spy and chase and everything, but it keeps it in sort of a, this is PG-13, and you better, you know, this isn't for
and
like
And my favorite tenant. Moment was, why are we foreshadowing that the mom was a decathlete? Well.
Oh, well, it comes back. In it also a hilarious way, by the way.
Yeah, I guess. Except
there's a key scene at the end where her athletic skills come in handy, but the first part of it just
not
made
so
me
good.
Laugh out loud. So that is
that
the family,
made me laugh.
That is the that is the Family Plan, and it is streaming on Apple TV Plus.
Expectations low, low.
10, 9. The KSL Movie Show Top 10.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The sound of the goat means it's time for the Movie Show Top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services. By the way, that's our tribute to Doug Wright every week.
Greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time. And
he's
it kind of sounds like a horse, kind of, a little bit.
With a cold?
A goat. A horse with a cold sounds like a goat. All right, Steve. So the Movie Show Top 10, number 10, The Shift.
Yeah, it's hung in there.
Yeah, stayed in the top 10 2 straight weeks.
$9 million, though. That's all.
Well, it didn't make as much as, let's say, The Sound of Freedom did.
No, that's true.
But it was decent. I thought it overreached a little what it was trying to do. It kind of made sense at the end of the movie, but during the movie it seemed kind of convoluted.
Well, sci-fi religion always seems a little odd to me.
It can work, but I just didn't think they quite pulled it off as much as I'd hoped they would, based on the description. Again, that was one where if you watch the trailer, you're like, now that looks like an awesome movie, but you're not going to exactly get that when you watch it.
Yeah.
Number 9, The Animal. No, Animal. I did that last week, too. Animal.
Animal, yeah. This is a story about a father and son in India, so it's going to be like 3 days long. I mean, it's probably like 2.5 hours, which is kind of a short for films from India, but it's, you know, an action film about a father and son.
We've got Waitress the Musical.
Now, this is cheating because this only played for 4 nights, but it was the 4 nights that counted, so... it made $5 million.
I don't even know what it is. I mean, I've heard of Waitress the Musical. Is it a re-release of a movie?
It's Broadway.
Yeah.
Or was this the video of the Broadway show?
Yes, this is actually a videotape.
So this is one of those
play.
Fathom special event things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ah, okay. And is Waitress the Musical very good, Sally of Hale Center?
It's very good. It's naughty, a little naughty.
Okay.
It's people love it.
That's Carrie Russell was in the movie version of it, right?
Yes.
Is it the same thing? Because I wasn't sure about that.
Yes. The premise is the same. Of course, you had music and all of it, but the premise is the same.
And Sarah
Bareilles. And the Broadway is naughtier.
Her.
It's naughtier than the,
okay,
than the movie.
Than the movie was. Okay. And so The Waitress, the musical, The Fathom Event made the top 10.
And made $5 million.
And made $5 million. Hey. Put things in theaters, folks. You're going to make some money.
That's true.
All right. Number 7, Napoleon, still hanging on.
Yeah, well, it's done pretty well. $172 million worldwide, but it cost about $250 to $3 to make.
Yeah, but it's going to win some Academy Awards for something.
What? Which one? Maybe cinematography?
Cinematography.
Visual effects.
Maybe Joaquin. The
horse.
You think Joaquin has a chance?
I don't.
Okay.
Although I think the men's category is probably the weakest.
Yeah, I was struggling to kind of figure out. The women's, I had like so many that I don't know how I'm going to chop them off the list.
Yeah, the women's roles, lead roles, were unbelievable this year.
We've got number 6, Wish, still hanging in the top 10. Has it got legs like Elemental does?
Well, it's doing okay. It's made 107 worldwide. Again, though, this is a $200 million movie, so they're a little nervous. But
Sally, did you see Wish?
Haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll like it because it's old school Disney.
And that's what I love. Great.
Number 5, Renaissance, a film by Beyonce. That pretty precipitous drop from week 1.
Yeah, it's made 29 domestic, 8 foreign at 37. You know, it's...
So here's the math.
No Taylor.
29 gross, 5.5 the last week. That's a big drop.
Ooh. Well...
It made 22 its first week, and then it made 5 its second
If you're a
week.
Fan of Beyonce, you probably saw
you
it.
You probably saw week. It, exactly. Yeah. Number 4, Trolls Band Together. I'm actually surprised that one's hanging in the top 5.
Yeah,
it
really
didn't seem to have much momentum after its first weekend, but
not
it's
any
just
memorable
sticking around.
Songs. I just thought it was a repeat of the first movie, to be honest. But it's made 84 domestic, 91 foreign. It's at 175.
And then at number 3, a personal fave of mine, Godzilla Minus One.
You know,
I loved it.
You know, in our Vice Martin Awards for outstanding performance in a fantasy.
Did you nominate the lead
Godzilla?
Guy?
No, I want Godzilla to win.
Oh, you want Godzilla himself? Well, hey, it's a good performance.
I thought
you were going to give maybe like the lead guy, the kamikaze pilot.
Well, he was good, but no.
All right.
Godzilla.
Number 2, Hunger Games Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. This does have legs because this has been in the top 2 every week since it came out 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, and it's at 261 million worldwide, so it's doing well.
And it was good. It was the best one I'd seen since Catching Fire. It was
except
also the first one that I'd seen since Catching
Except for that
Fire.
Slapdash third act.
Yeah, yeah. Steve's opinion, and I kind of agree with him, but I won't take the credit because you were the one that said it. This one might have benefited from a split into two movies.
I agree.
And then number 1, The Boy and the Heron.
Well, consider this is a Miyazaki movie. Who, I mean, imagine anime is the number 1 movie in America right now.
In December.
Yeah.
Not like in August when there's no other movies coming out.
And this is a complicated movie. It's not like an easy watch like Spirited Away or Ponyo. And this is a complex animated movie from Japan. It's number 1.
I recommend, unless you're an absolute purist, though, see this one in English in the dub as opposed to Japanese with the English subtitles because it will distract you from all the visual stuff that's going on.
I know somebody who's seen both, and they said for a purist standpoint, it was... They got more out of it, actually, from the subtitles.
What?
I know.
No.
That's what he said, so.
Well, there's purist snobs for anime. There's purist snobs for movies.
But I think
there's purist snobs for theater. There's everything.
But he did say it's a tough watch. This is not an easy film to get through.
But it's amazing. It's gorgeous. It's colorful.
Oh, the look of it is, you've been doing anime since the beginning of time, you're going to get good at it.
That's a good point. So that is our movie show top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services. Normally,
hey, thank you.
This is where we would play the rejoin music.
I'm having technical difficulties.
Oh, Gustavo's having some technical. So we'll just go on without the thing. But this is the movie show. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
Merry Christmas.
Where do you think you're going? Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no. We're all in this together.
From the KSL Movie Show.
I love being on the radio. It is really fun. I do. And Gustavo, you're a family. You're part of the show. And... honestly, I think that just makes it even
nothing
sound
in your
better.
Stocking this year, but yeah, go big.
But we already gave you your gift, so
right.
He knows he doesn't have to try anymore through the rest of the
year.
Oh,
we screwed up. Should have waited.
All right, Steve, we have one more movie from streaming that we need to review, and it is our sort of other big movie of the week, and it is Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget.
Oh, yes.
Cross your fingers.
Oh,
Thank you.
You've got everything you want right here.
You can't make me stay here.
Molly!
The truck's taking chickens to some kind of farm.
Who knows what horrors Molly is dealing with in there?
There's something strange about this place.
Behold the dawn of the Nugget.
The Nugget.
All right, so a lot of the cast back from the original film from 2000.
I know.
Notably missing the main two characters. Mel Gibson was the voice in the original. And then I don't remember who the other one was. But now they're replaced by Zachary Levi and Tandy Newton. In the first movie, Rocky and Ginger, the two main characters, Rocky the Rooster and Ginger the Hen, led a group of chickens to freedom from the evil farm of the Tweedies, where they were all going to be chicken pot pie. By the way, all of
Mrs.
that is
Tweedy,
recapped.
She was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
What a
and that's
nasty
all recapped.
Woman.
If you haven't, you don't have to rewatch Chicken Run. They give you a quick little recap at the beginning. But now Rocky and Ginger live with all the other chickens on an island. And
Chicken
they
Island.
Have a little chickadee named Molly who's fiercely independent like Ginger used to be.
Oh,
but
here comes the teenager.
Now Ginger has those feelings of maternal protection tempering her own rebellious streak. And so when Molly sneaks away from the island, accidentally ends up on her way to a chicken nugget factory, Rocky, Ginger, and the rest of the hens all head out after her.
The thing that's funny about this is they broke out of the Tweety farm. Now they're going to break into a different farm.
That's
how
you
got to
do it. I mean,
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I don't know why it took them so long to come up with this, but this
question.
Is Aardman Entertainment. These guys do stop motion like
it's
nobody's
It's like claymation,
business.
But except for I don't think it's actually clay.
No, I don't
At
know.
At this point, it's probably CG that's just made to look like stop-motion claymation. I don't know. I couldn't find that out for sure before we started the show.
Well, that's how they've done it all along, is they've had the little cities and the little animals. I'm pretty sure that that's how they do it here in this one.
Okay.
Maybe not, but I thought it was brilliant. It's hysterical.
Well, I didn't like it as much as I remember liking the original Chicken Run, but I thought it was cute, and once it got going, it was pretty funny. And I did like that it gave me the chance to lecture my kids about how all the danger and shenanigans could have been avoided if the kids had just obeyed their parents.
Oh, brother. Killjoy.
So I digress. It is rated PG. It's streaming on Netflix. It's fine. It's funny. It's cute. My kids all enjoyed it. That's what matters. I mean, they're not making Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget for me. They're making it for my kids. And they laughed and thought it was
hilarious. I have to admit, when it said Dawn of the Nugget, I'm like, yeah, that can't be good.
Well, they make all the chickens that are in the... What's funny
it's
is the teenagers
control, right?
At the beginning are like, well, those chickens look like they're having a great time at that farm. We should go there. And then, of course, it's...
The mind control.
A nugget. And then they have the mind control where they're all in like the happy little place. And then suddenly like, must go to the stairs, which leads to the sounds of a factory chopping up nuggets.
It's not good.
Yeah. And so, anyway, that's Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget. Did you give it a grade?
I gave it a B.
And for me, I gave it a 2.5 out of 4. It's probably in the B range there. I think we're on the same page. But
I thought it was cute. I thought it was a cool idea that, you know, they're the rebels at the beginning of the first film, and then they end up having to be parents and go rescue their daughter.
That's kind of, if you think about it, all the kids who are maybe, let's say, 10 years old in 2000 are now
parents,
mid-30s, and they have kids coming up on Molly's age. And so, we just barely got married when Chicken Run came out. We didn't have any kids yet. And now we have them from 21 down to age 10. And like I said, it gave me a great lecture opportunity. And dads should never pass those up, is what I think.
The studios used to send the coolest props way back when. I have a carton full of empty eggs with the characters' faces on in a 12 pack of a egg carton.
You still have it?
Yeah.
Huh. Nice. Only this time you still have the Mel Gibson version of Rocky, not the Zachary Levi version.
Okay, it has 11 eggs in it.
A lot's happened in 23 years, let's just say that. All right, that is Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget, and that is streaming on Netflix. First of all, Steve, a Charlie Brown Christmas, a tradition on television. It is not airing on broadcast TV this year.
Yes, Apple TV owns it.
Apple owns the rights, but they have made it available for free. You don't have to have Apple TV Plus in order to watch it. Tomorrow and Sunday, over the weekend, Apple TV Plus free to anybody who wants to watch A Charlie Brown Christmas. It will be available for Apple TV Plus subscribers throughout the month, but it's free for sure tomorrow and Sunday on Apple TV Plus.
Also, Boys in the Boat, the George Clooney movie There's going to be a early access on Sunday at 4 o'clock if you want to see it early. Otherwise, you'll have to
wait. Should people want to see it? You've seen it. I haven't
I have yet. Seen it. It's very, it's lovely, inspiring sports movie.
And Barbie has finally come to streaming. It is on Max. It is available as of today for streaming if you have a subscription. And Taylor Swift's concert movie, The Eras Tour, is now available to watch at home, but it is not on a free streaming platform.
What?
It's not. You got to pay, guess how much, $19.89
oh, I get
to get the concert. And my daughters, by the way, already have. So, and just a reminder, the movie show is moving to a new time in 2024. We will still be on Fridays, but we will be on from 11 to 1. It is not next week. It is not the week after. It is in 2024.
January.
Where we will make room for Dave and Dujanovic to join us on Fridays, but we will still be there, and we'll keep reminding you between now and then.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone Torture.
Telephone Torture, sponsored by our friends at the Larry H. Miller Megaplex Theaters, and we've got some amazing prizes that we will tell you about when you win. And, of course, the rules are we'll take the first three callers at 801-575-TALK. That's 801-575-8255. The theme of Telephone Torture today, Steve, is?
It's a Hugh Grant movie.
In honor of Hugh Grant playing an Oompa Loompa in Wonka, the new musical.
Kind of a cranky one at first.
Yes, and playing the Hugh Grant version of an Oompa Loompa, in my opinion. But we have a Hugh Grant movie. Steve has come up with the three questions. We will take three callers. We will ask you one question each for the same movie. If you know the answer, you win the prize. If you don't, we'll go to the next one. And if nobody, none of the three callers, for some reason gets the correct, we will then take one, the first correct answer on the text line. Now, that's only if the callers do not get.
Do they have to be a movie show member?
No, that's if we give away a second prize, you have to be. Actually, you know what? I think that's what it was. So this is the last time. We'll make that change in the new year.
Okay.
So, first correct answer, if the three on the phone don't get it.
Okay. All right.
Then we'll take the first. And we'll tell you what the prizes are.
All
right. So, a Hugh Grant movie, and who is our first caller? I mean, attempted possible loser, winner, whatever. You will determine what you are. And
hello.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Don.
Don.
Don said hi to us in person not 1 hour ago, and he wins the phone call-in lottery again. Okay, Don, Hugh Grant movie, are you ready?
Yeah.
No, he hates being first. Okay, ready,
Stop
Don?
Stop calling so soon, Don.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Sounds like your phone's jacked. But okay, when this film premiered at Sundance on opening night, the festival had given complimentary tickets to members of the legislature, not realizing that the opening montage was full of startled characters waking up late and launching into a handful of expletives, particularly from the F variety, to which a fourth of the audience got up and walked out. What is the movie?
A Hugh Grant movie that scared the legislators from Utah into leaving during the Sundance premiere.
How about My Best Friend's Wedding?
My Ooh. Best Friend's Wedding.
Wow.
Gustavo, is that correct?
He's getting better, though.
He is. And you know what? He did say he hates being first, but he calls in so quick.
I know. Just knock it off.
All right, Don. It was good to see you, my friend. Good luck next week.
Thanks for the goodies, too, by the way.
Thank you.
All right. And I think he thought maybe because he was so generous and gave us a sweet Christmas gift that we would make him be the third caller. But
we
can't give favoritism. All right. Who is our next potential winner or loser?
Hello.
We'll see.
Who is it?
Elijah.
Elijah.
Elijah. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Elijah. Are you going to rock?
I'll try.
Awesome. All right, Steve, what is question number two?
Okay, before that premiere, a young nervous reporter spoke to one of the stars, but had never heard of her co-star, Hugh Grant, so declined to chat with him both at the same time, and he just stood off camera while I was talking to the star of the movie.
Which he won't give away because it would be too easy if you knew this.
That's Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Gustavo, is that correct? Hey, Elijah, you do
nice.
Rock. Shout, shout. What gave it away?
Just saying about funeral or weddings and stuff. And so I don't know.
You just took a shot, didn't you?
Okay, well, hey, it doesn't matter how you get there. It's that you got there.
Well, here's the funny aside from that. So that was me.
So
I
now
blew
him off. Read the question with the not having to exclude the star's name.
Well, it was
Andy McDowell.
Andy McDowell, yeah, and I was terrified. Live broadcast on Channel 2. But here's the funny part. Later that year, he won a Golden Globe for his portrayal. She did not. So there's that.
Ooh.
And his audition tape to be in this movie, he only made $100,000. Well, that seems like nothing. But
this was one of the first true independent blockbusters, I recall.
And one of the first things he was in, his audition tape, was him giving his best man speech at his brother's wedding.
Oh.
So, and they picked
it. It would have been great to have seen, to have somehow go back in time and show him playing an Oompa Loompa when he's making his first audition tape.
He probably would have become
That's just me, though.
UPS driver.
All right, Elijah, so you want to stay on the line, but I need to read you what prize options you have because, oh my gosh, our friends at the Megaplex Theaters, you're not going to believe this one. And you're going to
make
you got to pick this one.
Yeah.
This is our prize option. There is a Wonka and Megaplex Theaters Chocolate Tour prize package. Now, this is what you get. You get two movie tickets. You get two popcorns with the Wonka souvenir tub.
Yeah.
You get two drinks in the Wonka souvenir cups. And you get 10 chocolate candies. They have special chocolate candies at the Megaplex Theaters for this Wonka premiere.
And...
well, you get 10 of these chocolate candies in various flavors. You get an official Wonka blanket. And you get a Megaplex gift card of $50 to purchase chocolate ice cream, a Swig chocolate chip cookie cup, funnel fries with chocolate sauce, and more. You can use
$50
on whatever you want. And it sounds like you're going to need to bring some family with you to kind of help you out with this deliciousness.
Yeah. Or
this is worth... over $200, by the way.
Oh, easily.
Over $200, this Megaplex prize pack. Now, you can have that, or you can have the traditional Megaplex Theaters prize pack with two tickets, two drinks, and a popcorn.
Make it sound like it's, you know.
Now, which do you choose?
I think I'll go with the chocolate one.
Okay. Ah, smart man, Elijah. Elijah. You are a smart
Elijah
man
rocked.
With that great sales pitch you threw at it.
Well, congratulations, Elijah. You are our telephone torture winner, and we have just enough time and in the spirit of the season. Do you know how to introduce or how we end telephone torture? Traditionally?
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. So let's... there we go.
Have we not done that lately?
We haven't done it for a little while. And we thank those of you who participated via text. We would have had a winner on text, but boy, we didn't even make it to question number three. So
yeah.
That was...
I didn't even tell him the year.
Wow.
That was pretty remarkable.
And he guessed. Maybe he's only seen a few Grant movies, possibly. Well, I would have gone with About a Boy, because that's probably my favorite Hugh Grant movie.
I was thinking Love Actually for a bit, but then I thought...
Not
that's on my list. In the spirit of the season.
You got to spend the rest of your life watching movies on your list.
And it's because of how much Hollywood puts out. Now, I'll never get caught up. But that is Telephone Torture. Thank you to our friends at the Megaplex Theaters for their continued support throughout the year for these awesome prize packages.
And Jeff and the whole gang.
They are awesome. So that is Telephone Torture. And our final segment of the movie show, we will do Rapid Fire.
The Movie Show.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, Santa's coming to town.
Santa here?
On KSL News Radio.
And, of course, that was Elf. Which, by the way, we're at Hale Center Theater, where Elf is still playing all the way through after the new year.
And you wish you could see it.
And I wish I could see it. But there are actually still a few tickets. So we'll get to that in just a sec. But, Steve, we got to do rapid fire. Quick recap of everything we've talked about on the movie show. It's kind of probably good that there was a little bit lighter load than some of the weeks we've had recently. But we'll start off with our big movie of the week, Wonka. the movie musical, Timothée Chalamet as Wonka, his backstory. I felt like it was a fun combination of Mary Poppins, Harry Potter, and just something that the whole family can enjoy that's colorful. I was looking at the box office totals. I was like, it only got 3.5 million in previews last night. But then you pointed out this is going to probably do really well over the Christmas weeks.
Yeah, I don't know what would be the holdback, except maybe everybody's got other stuff to do. But this is a uplifting, positive film for the entire family, as you mentioned. And I think they did a wonderful job. The songs are fun. It's a fun movie. Go have a good time.
And enjoy English actors.
Mostly, yes.
Mostly. Then we've got Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget on Netflix.
Well, I thought, you know, after so many years, nobody's seen the original one. I mean, so long ago.
But I know, right?
That was brilliant then. This is, I think, probably not quite as good as the first Chicken Run, but it's pretty good.
I didn't think it was as good, but my kids loved it, and that's who it's really aimed at, if anybody. We've got Fallen Leaves, the Finnish entry into the Oscar race.
Yep, just two people, very stoic. They're the worst. It's not a romantic movie at all, but they're so cute, and they finally figure it out. Like, I think we belong together.
It's and that's in
adorable.
Theaters.
That's at the Broadway.
At the Broadway only. Okay. And then we've got The Family Plan on Apple TV Plus, an action comedy with Mark Wahlberg, Michelle Monaghan. And I thought it was hilarious. And it doesn't take itself too seriously, which is good because it's a dad who didn't tell his family he was an assassin.
But hey, let's go on a road trip.
But he manages to protect them all without them realizing it for a good chunk of the movie.
Yeah, it's Mark Wahlberg. Come on.
Yeah. And he didn't even have to bust out his Boston accent. Although I thought it would have been really funny if instead of listening to Vanilla Ice, that they would have listened to Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch sing Good Vibrations. I thought that would have been just at next level hilarious. Then we've got Finest Kind on Paramount Plus.
It's a fishing movie that family is forced to do some rather unscrupulous things. And
yeah,
thank goodness dad's around to help them out.
It's a pretty good character drama that shoehorns in a weird bit of violent crime stuff.
Yeah.
That feels really kind of out of place, even though that's how it's marketed in the trailer. Then we've got Reacher on Prime, season two.
If you saw the first season and you liked it, there's no way you're not going to watch the second season because it's even better. Well, it's different, but it's still really good.
We both highly recommend it. And then we've got The $1 Billion Goal, a Paramount Plus. It's a 3-episode, 30-minute each documentary about the history of soccer, men's soccer in the United States. Great history lesson and a tribute to one of the pioneers who covered soccer for U.S.
That's what I watched it for. It was Grant Wall.
All right. And that is Rapid Fire.